Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to another Saturday Coffee Tea with me. And today our very special guest is a person that I met when he actually worked for someone other than whom he works for today, and found him to be a very caring and genteel person, and many times offered him to please come and do a call with our group. He graciously accepted after I came to his house with the baseball bat, and here he is today, Dr. Edward Griffin. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Mel. I hope everybody is doing well this morning. And, you know, Mel came and scared me at the house with the baseball bat and said, you have to come on. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Just don't hurt me, Mel. So here I am today joining you guys. So, excellent.
Now, we put a little, I guess, a synopsis might not be the perfect word, but my English is not perfect. But we put a little bio on you in on the announcement of the call. And so why don't you tell a little bit to the group about where we met, how we've communicated over the year, and what you're doing now, and then we'll open it up to questions. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing. So, yeah, perfect. So Mel and I first met almost, I think it's been about a little over two years ago, I think, is when we met.
Wow.
And I was working with a company. I was working with the Silver Company, so Natural Immunogenics. And I was their education manager. I have done a couple of calls with you guys, so you're probably familiar with me and chatting a little bit here. So I still do talk about Silver, and I still love the Silver, even though I no longer work with that company. Let's see. That's where I met Mel at. And then, circumstances changed. And now I am currently working. I am a naturopathic doctor and currently working out of Kansas with a company called IntelliKey Life. So that's one that's difficult to spell, but if you want to take a look at that online, IntelliKey Life, IntelliKey Life.com is the company I work for right now. Amazing doctor, Dr. Jennifer Mead, who is actually a fellow student with me when I went to school. And then we have an amazing health coach with us as well. So we work and talk about all kinds of different health issues and help all kinds of people with all types of things, working from a lot of hormone issues that people are dealing with to a lot of GI health. And so much of our body is related to GI health. And the reason that I jump into GI health and the importance of healing up our gut is because that's what brought me to naturopathic medicine. That's a little bit of my backstory of where I came from and where I started. Is I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was about 18 years old and first going off to college. And nobody could really help me much. I went to the doctors. I did all of the protocols. I did the medications that they suggested and told me to do. And it wasn't until I found a book and started changing my diet and then heard this word, naturopathic. So I was in college and I was going to be a psychologist and help people mentally. But then when I found this word, naturopathic medicine, that combined the mental, the physical, the spiritual all together, that light bulb moment happened. And I thought, this is the thing that I'm supposed to do with my life. And that's what brought me here. And so my own health issues, from ulcerative colitis to a disease called primary sclerosing cholangitis, led to all types of, you know, hospital visits. And now I tell people at almost 50 years old, I'm in better health than I was in my teens and 20s. So simply about changing the lifestyle and cutting out all of the bad things from our diet. And I really tell people, you know, the easiest thing or the simplest thing, I'll tell you everything I know about medicine in three sentences. Take out the garbage, give the body what it needs, and it heals itself. So the body is an amazing thing that takes care of itself. So that's what I truly believe. And we just support that healing process. And that's what we're doing, and that's what Mel helps everybody do by supporting their healing and on the journey, because healing is a journey as much as it is a science. And we can't always do it alone. Sometimes we need a little structure. We need a little support as we go along. That's why we have people like Mel. That's why I have people like myself that are trying to help support people. You guys really do the work. We just kind of coach you along the way on how to get better. So I think that's, and then with working with Mel, Mel and I have talked quite a bit over the last year or so, and he keeps encouraging me to come on and share more information. So here I am today to share as much as I can, and hopefully you'll learn a little bit of something as we go along.
All right. Welcome again, Doc. Glad you finally made it. Let's open it up to the questions, starting with the resident spies. We're going to, their name come in first, but we're going to have them go first. They got good questions. Come in, Paul and Diane. Diane and Paul.
Oh. Hi, good morning, everybody. No, we're formulating a question, but we're going to wait a little while. So we just want to hear a little bit more about what he has to say about how he's helping people now.
All right, no problem. Well, let's turn the moose loose, because he never, never does not have a question. Come in, Peter.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dr. Griffin. How are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing real well in remission a lot of years now, but I'm facing one particular challenge of late, and I believe it may be related to a situation termed Marcon's. So I was wondering if you had anything to offer on Marcon's, particularly on the not treatment, but on how to what foods to eat, perhaps, or how to address that particular situation, aside from silver, which doesn't seem to be working.
Okay, so the silver doesn't seem to be working for you, because Marcon's really has to deal with a little bit of, you know, kind of viral going on. How have you been doing the silver? Have you done it the nasal, or have you been doing the nebulizers?
I'm sorry, I kept hearing line muted, line unmuted. Could you, and it okay. Overrode your question. Could you restate your question again, Dr. Griffin?
You mentioned that the silver was not working to help you out, so I was curious about how you're using it right now.
Yeah, that's one thing. I'm glad you said that. I'm using colloidal silver, the sovereign silver that we advocate here for. Of course, with Immunogenics, who you used to work for, and you've brought a lot of information about. So I'm wondering, I am using it, the nasal spray. I'm not using it internally at the moment, but I was wondering if particle size, if maybe a larger particle size on the spray side might be more effective.
When it comes to particles, you want the particle to be smaller. So that's about one of the things about the colloidal silver. And why we recommend that sovereign silver is I called it the four P's: the purity, the particle size, the parts per million, and the positive charge. So I really still believe that they're the best silver out there. It might be a dose-wise. Are you doing several sprays up each nostril? Are you getting it up high enough in the nasal cavities? That's the other thing, because it can stay in the sinuses really well. So
I believe I am getting it, you know, addressing that side of it, getting it deep into the maximal sinuses. Yeah.
Okay. What my favorite way, and this is my favorite and also my least favorite at the same time way of doing this, is what I recommend to people, and like yourself, getting it up in the sinus, especially for Marcon's, is you want to get it into the sinuses really well. I recommend laying on a bed. So laying on a bed, laying on a couch, so that you can drop your head down slightly, so your head hanging off the bed, and take an eyedropper. They actually sell the silver with a dropper as well. And I recommend taking a dropper full of each silver and put it up each nostril.
Okay.
It's kind of like a neti pot, where you're getting it really deep into the tissues. The first time I did this, I really had to sneeze. It made me want to sneeze. and it gets really deep up into the sinuses. So if you can lay there, it's almost like when you jump into a pool and you get water up your nose. That's what it feels like. But it really gets into the sinuses, into the frontal and the proximal sinuses, so that you're supporting and getting in there. So my guess is that silver is not helping right now, is that it's not getting deep enough. So laying down and doing that type of treatment is going to be really beneficial for you.
Okay, thank you for that, doctor. One follow-up question. Of course, as a medical researcher, I focus a lot on physiology. So the lacrimal glands, which provide the tear ducts for our eyes, and that lacrimal ducting system that runs alongside the outer parts of the nose, it just seems to feel unusual there. So I guess my question, is there anything on the food side or herbal side that I could do that you were aware of internally that might, if I've got biofilm loading in those lacrimal glands, to clear those out and clear that ducting out, aside from the topical spraying into the sinuses itself? Anything I can do on the food side for that particular aspect of, you know, clearing the lacrimal glands?
The lacrimal glands actually go from, it's the reason why you actually, when people cry, why their nose runs, the lacrimal gland actually goes from the eye into the nasal cavity. So,
yeah, I'm familiar with that, and I'm familiar with that and the ducting process. Physiologically, I've been, I study these things. I have an understanding of that, but my question is there anything internally that I can do to clear those if that's a problem, if that's part of it? And that would include using silver in the eyes if that's necessary as well.
Yeah, I love silver for the eyes. Silver can be really great, and I've seen it treat pink eye and all types of viral, the bacterial infections of the eye as well. Again, that dropper, you can put a dropper in, or you can just mist the eyes with the spray. And that, as you get it in the eyes, it should travel down the lacrimal duct there and get into the nasal cavity. So I think adding it to the eyes, as well as doing the sinus spray, and like I said, that laying down with the eyedropper up each nostril. As far as food goes, the biggest thing is going to be cutting inflammation. So everybody's system, and everybody's a little bit different depending on allergies, sensitivities, what you've been exposed to. The biggest thing, I'm going to call it the big four now. I used to call it the big three that most people have problems with in their diet, and it's more about cutting things out rather than adding things in, is cutting out things like dairy, sugar, and wheat. Gluten are the big three, and since the last time, I've added in the seed oils. Industrial seed oils increase the inflammation, and the inflammation now causes the virus, the bacteria, or viruses to stay in place and to get stuck in there. So it's going to be that inflammation that causes a lot of problems, and inflammation is the root cause of all disease. So
those
big four things are where I start with almost everybody is going to be, again, gluten, dairy, sugar, and the seed oils. Those industrial seed oils are absolutely awful.
All right, let me jump in here, guys, before we get too far away from the eyedroppers. To this day, I put drops in my nose and my eyes every day of sovereign silver for protection. Because I truly believe, and I've said this many times, toxic disease is in the air, it's on the ground, it's in the trees, it's in the food, it's everywhere. So I do things because I don't ever want to get sick again. You know, when my time comes, it comes. But until then, I want to be a beast. All right, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I'm already focusing on those foods because I'm aware of that. The other thing is, the last thing I would ask you, Dr. Griffin, is, and thank you for that, by the way, is if I'm getting some, like, scabbing into the nose without blood or anything, which is very unusual, something I've never experienced, would you associate that with Marcon's or some other form of sinusitis where I can take my discovery towards to address in terms of better understanding what that might represent and how to address it?
So is it a dryness, like mucus kind of building up there? Because you're saying there's no blood.
Absolutely, absolutely, sir, to the point where it's actually crusting on the inside of my nose. I've never experienced this. Again, the spray
if not reducing it, and aside from maybe coconut oil are in there, I don't have any idea at this point, don't have any discovery on what might be fueling that, if it's related to the Marcons or some other form of sinusitis. And then again, internally, aside from anti-inflammatory foods, which I'm already eating, and avoiding right. those particular anti-inflammatory categories of foods that you mentioned, is there anything okay. else I need to understand about what's fueling that scabbing and that dryness? It's very odd, as if the mucus is not in its normal state. The mucoid in my defense barrier in my nose seems to be on overdrive or something.
Yeah. The other thing that I would consider is what state do you live in? Where are you at?
I'm in California, the Socialist Republic of California.
The Socialist Republic of California. Okay, yeah, definitely.
Yes, sir.
Or as my friend used to call it, California. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So interesting. What can happen is, depending on, are you in a moist place where there's like mold issues?
Well, yes. I do not have any current mold issues that I'm aware of. I've looked for that. And I do use a nebulizer. It's not necessarily, I'm in Northern California, by the way, which is, it's not necessarily really humid here, but I do strive to get about 65%, 50 to 60% humidity using a diffuser. Hopefully, I was thinking that might help as well, but it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're using diffusers, I love thieves oil. So the essential oil, thieves oil, if you haven't heard, are you familiar with thieves?
I have tried thieves, and that did not work.
That did not work, because that's one of my favorites to help with just viruses in the air.
I've even tried thieves oil internally to try and address internally, and it's still none of my efforts, none of the wisdom God has granted me with, and, you know, my associates like you, nothing has brought any results, and it's been about five weeks now. So aside from the Marcon's consideration, I have no idea what I'm dealing with or how to address it.
Yeah, I would consider something like a mold toxicity if there's a possibility of it being in a building that you're in, whether it's where you work or where you live. Is a lot of are you in an apartment or a house?
Yeah, I'm in an apartment, a eightplex, so that's something I've thought about as well. Mold in other issues, and the lady downstairs did have a washing machine that went out with some damage into the drywall and things. But
I would definitely say that there's mold within the apartment, and it's something that's called sick building syndrome. And especially if it's an older apartment and there's moisture in the air, ducts are very rarely, if ever, cleaned. So what happens is in the duct, and this happens with something called Legionnaire's disease, is it happens in hospitals, is they don't clean the duct, and then somebody gets sick, and then they get Legionnaire's disease, and then it blows throughout the whole place. Same thing can happen with the apartment. So I would really consider a mycotoxicity, is really look at mold. That would be the thing to do, is look up a mold test, if you can get a mold testing done.
Yeah, I can. I, as a matter of fact, I used to advocate on Mel's website for a particular type of testing that you can do on your own using a vial system that you put out with the gel from Lowe's.
Yeah.
You used to get it from Lowe's. Okay, and you know, the ducting has not been cleaned in the 15 years I've been here. I do spray clean green, and every now and then if I'm going to leave, I'll run the air or the heat with a little bit of Otaban or some form of antifungal, antiviral. I also have a medical grade air purifier that I use for any particulates in the air. So again, I appreciate that. The only consideration I haven't looked at is actually having the ducts cleaned professionally. But of course, I live in a situation where I have to get the approval of my management to do that. But that's helpful. I'll think about that. Thank you, Dr. Griffin.
Yeah, that would be the thing that I would look at is looking.
I'm going to jump in again, guys. Mm-hmm. I lived in Houston. I hated it. I couldn't be as healthy as I was capable of being because I was in the 13-year-old apartment complex, and there was definitely mold. And I mean, it's incredible that mold persists in probably, they used to say 60%, probably more like 75 to 80%. Of any building that's 10 years or older.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, When I lived in Houston, Doc, I had four dehumidifiers. A huge one in the living room, one in the office, one in the bedroom, and a fourth little guy in the bathroom. And I could hardly get it below 40%. I brought one dehumidifier with me to Colorado, and I turn it on when it gets above 30%.
Yeah.
And the difference in my health in the months that I'm here is really totally incredible. I mean, I really starting to feel the way I did a couple of years ago when I lived in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah, it's amazing that people don't even think about, like, the dust in their house, but they're hardly ever, like I said, if ever cleaned. And like Mel just said, if the apartment or building that you're living in is more than 10 years old, there's definitely going to be mold in those. Because whether you're, you know, different times of the year, you get that moisture building up in there, and it's a dark place, and mold likes warm, dark, moist places. And that's where it grows.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate that. That's maybe the missing piece I'm looking for. Thank you, Dr. Griffin. I'll investigate and take my discovery there. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there's a company out there called Vibrant Wellness. Vibrant Wellness, they make a couple of different tests. One that I use right now is called a gut zoomer, where we really look at what's going on in the gut. But they can also test for mycotoxicity. There's one of their, I think there's one of their tests that's specific for mold. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But look up Vibrant Wellness and Vibrant America. It's the same company. They got two different kind of offshoots, but they have a test for mycotoxicity.
All right. Thank you very much, Pete. I muted you because it was creating, again, some kind of distortion. But we'll come back to you. But I got to get going because we got a whole bunch of people here. All right, Donna G., have you heard enough to come up with a question?
Sorry, I had my phone muted here. No,
oh, don't say you're sorry.
Listening. No questions at
question?
The time.
None. Okay, well, you're welcome here. Remember, our only rule is you can't be sorry. All right, Lori, I bet you got a question.
I always have a question. Hi.
Right, always, Lori. That's why I'm going next.
I was downstairs. I'm going to run upstairs. I do have a question on how you work with, do you work with, like, Lyme disease and stuff with your patients?
Lyme is one that is definitely, it's a viral type thing, and it can definitely, I'm not doing specifically Lyme right now, but that's something I'm familiar with.
Okay. Well, I just wondered when they come to you and you ask them, like, and you put them on diets, do you give them, like, copies of diets, or do you, I know I've kind of figured it out, it took me a while, but I'm not sure I'm totally there. You know, I try and take things out and put things in. But do you just kind of tell them to do this diet and kind of figure it out, or do you have, like, outlines of diets and things that you give them?
We have a general elimination diet that we do with the group that I'm with right now. It's a lot of elimination in foods. But when it comes to Lyme, it's really going to be also about killing off the virus. So, Lyme disease is a viral illness, so you got to kill it. And that's why a lot of people don't even recognize it, and unless you're looking for it, you don't even see it. So I would say that Lyme is actually way more prevalent than is diagnosed, because I think there's a lot of people out there, and it could be spread back and forth between, like, partners even. They can pass it back and forth. So you definitely got to treat your partner as well as yourself. But the antivirals can be really amazing there. I have heard of, again, back to silver, is I've heard of silver being used as a combination therapy with ozone. So ozone and IV ozone and IV silver together to treat Lyme disease. And I've heard some pretty good success.
Okay. Also,
where are you located?
Well, whoa. The average person suffering here could not afford it, Doc. How expensive is it?
For ozone really isn't that pricey. It's really about the practitioner and what they're charging for it. So, I mean, I love ozone therapy, but when you're talking about a viral illness like Lyme disease, it's really difficult to treat, and that's why you got to hit it really hard. I love things like, also, if we're talking about inexpensive type treatments, glyceriza, licorice, licorice root tea, doing a licorice root tincture can be very beneficial for viruses.
Okay, well, hey, I think we got more people who could afford that route than the other, but that's good. It's good to have options. All right, anything else there at the moment, Lori?
I just wondered about anything to, that you know of, anything to my husband lost his arm to a stroke, and I know it hit his left brain, and if he knew anything that had any success of getting back that part of the brain.
Off the top of my head, not really. The first thought that came to my head, though, is hyperbaric oxygen. That can really help get the oxygen back into the body might be something to consider. But again, you got to find somebody that in your area that has a hyperbaric chamber. But yeah, that can support definitely. It's really about oxygen. It's about blood flow. Hydrotherapy is another possibility, is again, increasing the blood flow. So alternating hot and cold can be very beneficial.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Lori. Thank you. All right, we're back to our resident spy couple, Diane and Paul. Come in.
Oh, sorry. It took me a minute to find my mute button. No questions yet, but you know we will have one eventually, Mel.
Oh, no, I know. I know you will. Okay. So let me move forward and say, welcome, Sunny, and how are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you, Dr. Peter. And I have a lot of questions, but I'm just going to do one right now. The sovereign silver, okay, let me give you a short synopsis here. Since 1989, I've been fighting toxic black mold. I got it in Hawaii, living in an infested home, which I didn't know, of course, was infested. And now I was in California for a while, and it was better. I'm in Georgia now, and it's horrible. It's just absolutely horrible. And when I was in California, I was taking some sovereign silver with aloe vera. And
okay.
I was doing really good with that and some other, a lot of other supplements too. But here, I don't always have enough to get the sovereign silver, enough finances. Is it okay? I have a silver maker. Will that do any good at all?
Let me stop you here. Hold on. Thank you, sir. The sovereign silver has been ordered for you, young lady, by the foundation. So, next.
Oh, thank you. But I need to ask that question.
Well, go ahead and ask your question, but don't worry about the silver. It's en route.
Does the silver baker that we have, that we can make our own silver, is that anything good at all? Is it just
I think silver has so many benefits and so many uses. The thing about making your own silver, though, is that it's hard to know exactly what the particle size is, if there's a positive charge.
I got to interrupt, Doc. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
From day one, okay, it's been a no-no for anyone going through toxic disease to attempt to make their own silver. The only person who ever turned blue was a boy from California that I took to Dr. Zamboni. And she would call me and say, you know, this guy's turning blue, Mel. I said, well, yeah, he's, you know, got toxic disease, we know, and he has brain fog, and he's trying to make something here. And if you make a mistake, you can hurt yourself. So we have always had a no, no, no on making your own. So you can say whatever you want now, Doc. We have the best silver company on earth.
Right.
And the best price possible.
I know that.
Yep, that's where I wanted to go with that, too, is as much as silver has benefits, and there are some benefits with making your own, but you don't know the quality. You don't know the size of the particles. You trust a company like Natural Immunogenics that makes sovereign silver because of they're known for their quality, their purity. It's, like I said, it's those four P's, purity, particle size, parts per million, and positive charge. If you're making your own, you can definitely make it cheaply, but what are you getting out of it and what are you getting the benefits of?
Right.
So most people that do make their own, they only test it with the, they're testing, what is it, it's the particle, number of particles is what they measure, but they don't know the size or you don't know for sure that it's silver.
Yeah.
So unless you're looking at it under an electron microscope and you can prove the quality and the purity, I trust the people that do it for a living rather than just somebody that's making it home. There might be some benefits from making it home. Definitely price is one of them. But trust Sovereign Silver. I no longer work for them, but I still use their products because I trust them.
Mm, okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I mean, I didn't make up the story to scare all you people. I'm pretty sure Peter, who I just unmuted, he knows about this from previous because Peter was the second person ever that I took to Zamboni after I took Mary Beth, who then was a nurse and today is a doctor. So, I mean, you just don't want to do it. You make a mistake and you can hurt yourself.
Almost
all right.
Breakfast.
I'm sorry, what?
Breakfast.
All right. Do you have any other questions at this time, Sunny?
No, thank you, though.
Okay, you're welcome. You said you had many, so we can give you another one.
Well, I mean, I can think about the little ones, but I think this is good for now.
All right. Let's go ahead and say hi to Fancy Nancy, who hadn't been feeling too fancy for a few weeks. We're just glad she's well enough to join us today. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Hey, y'all. Glad to be here. We just have a lot of issues still in our house dealing with those little black specks and the white dust specks that we try to, me and my husband, he got put out of work because the VA messed up his eye for 3 years, and he went yesterday, and the doctors that examined him on the outside were, he was there for about 3 hours, and he said, they told him that the VA has damaged his eye, and they can't do nothing until they send a report back to the VA and see what they'll allow them to do. And we're in our 70s, and we're just trying to survive each day at a time. Of course, the storm, we was without electricity from Thursday night till Monday afternoon, and there's still a lot of people around us that's out of it. And we're just dealing with the everyday life problems of this Lyme disease that's affected me again about 14 years ago. So what is your best advice dealing with ourselves and our home? Do you have some that we can... I followed the protocol we made for the last over 2 years, and it's helped, but we still got a long ways to go.
All right, well, I guess I don't have a question, but no, they have an issue where they definitely have mold, okay? And her husband, he's such a good guy, Rusty. I mean, and the VI actually messed up his eye, and they're going to wind up in a lawsuit. I mean, it's crazy, because as we get older, we don't need to deal with this kind of stuff. But Doc, I try to tell him, you know, to try to stay as calm as possible, okay? Because what is what is, and we have to deal with that. But we don't want to create any more anxiety for ourselves at all. We try to do whatever we can to stay relaxed.
We have two ozone machines that we use daily, but my daughter got for us back at Mother's Day. We have an air purifier, we have a dehumidifier, and we run fans constantly to keep, you know, the air dried out, or we keep dusted. I mean, we're always, you know, trying to keep everything cleaned and sanitized as possible, and it's got a lot better. But as we've aged and other health problems has done, it seems like it's a fighting battle just to survive. And I know that it is, and we accept that, but is there any advice you could give us that might help the situation that we're in, other than moving? That's not an option.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard, mold is one that's really difficult to get out of a house or an apartment or even out of a duct. So sometimes moving might be the only option for the improvement, because, like I said, it's so tough. And where are you at? I think somebody said they were in Georgia or from the California
to
Georgia.
I'm in South Carolina.
South Carolina is another place that's really humid, so most buildings are going to have mold. So even
how old's the house, Nancy? How old's the house?
We've been here 30 years. We're out in the country.
Right. And did you build the house then, or was it there then?
No, we built it here. We got it here.
Okay, good. All right. There you go.
Yeah, so nobody else has ever lived in it, and we've always maintained it to a high quality. And until about 14 years ago, I got a blood clot in my arm, and they took it out. And when they took that out, ever since then, I've had health issues. And with the Lyme, they said, came back active because I lost all the iron out of my body. And then I have had shingles, and regular doctors don't know a whole lot to help you. And even though I've got great doctors, and even my breast cancer came back, and I saw my breast cancer doctor yesterday, and all that is healed and well and gone, thank the Lord. I don't have any more issues with that, even though he will keep seeing me for a year at a time. He said their main worry is that cancer sometimes will go into the lungs and they don't really become active again, you know, sometimes for several years. And then Mel has helped so much with me getting better in the last couple of years than what I had been in the last 14 years with the protocol and the help and advice he's given us. So we sort of feel like we've come to a standstill. We're doing everything that we can do. And then when my husband's issues, and they laid him off from his school because of his eye, because the VA's been dealing with it for 3 years, and just found out yesterday that everything the VA done is what has caused the damage permanently to his eye. And the doctors can't do anything until they give the report back to the VA and get permission from them to actually try to help some. So it's just been a difficult situation with one thing after another, and Mel says, don't worry, just stay relaxed. Well, I do, but I was a hospice care nurse. And I've always took good care of my patients, took good care of their homes above what I had to do because I cared about them. And, you know, so I'm just, we sort of fell short of having any kind of help. And because my grandsons live out of state, and my last sister just passed away in July. So for the last since May, things have just really been escalating to a point where we have energy and we do things and we rest and we eat proper. And I just want something to sort of kick us over the edge if there's possible.
Well, Doc, what do you think? Yep. Should I take out an insurance policy and burn down the house?
That might be the thing to do. Yeah. No, we don't want to burn down their house. But
I don't want to go to jail either.
Yeah, that's true. As much as we try to take care of our homes and keep everything clean, in places like South Carolina, like Georgia, like Florida, where the humidity is so high, it's often in the walls. It's behind the paint. It's in the drywall. It's in the ducts. It's in the attic. It's in the basement. Is the mold gets in there. And like I said, it's called thick building syndrome, which it's, short of burning it down and starting from scratch, it is very difficult to remediate mold damage. So, it's one of those things that I know you've lived there 30 years and that you built the house, but it's so tough to treat that. It's getting it all dried out and then getting it either, eradicated or covering it over somehow. But even if you cover it over, it can still seep through. I know painting with like a Kills paint or something can be beneficial, but it still goes back. The underlying issue is still there. So it's really about it's removing the obstacle. So if that's the last obstacle, unfortunately, sometimes that's what has to be done, and people have to move or leave jobs because of the buildings that they work in or live in.
Okay, well, we've got land, and we've thought about, just getting a smaller mobile home like and having it enclosed underneath it with brick. Our home here is bricked under and everything. But if we stayed on the same land and maybe went up a little bit, we're like in sand hills almost. And there's a lot of spring wells all around us, and it was farmland for years, and nobody had actually lived on the land other than in the big old farmhouse. So you think that we could just build something else or move something else in here to live in for the rest of our life, that would be easier to accomplish?
I think so. Yeah, that would be something easier to accomplish. And you mentioned the ozone generators, too. Are you using ozone in the house? Or how often are you using it?
Well, they just like room ozone things, and we've got two. And the two bedrooms and bathrooms that's on one side of the house, I usually do it two or three times a day. But them closed off. I mean, they're closed off. And the only time I bring them in the other part of the house is if we go to doctor's appointments or to grocery stores or out of the house for several hours. And I'll bring one in here and leave the one back there to sort of penetrate the rest of the house.
Okay. Can you get them up into the ducts by any chance? Because ozone should be antifungal and antiviral and kills off mold. I love ozone. I think it's very beneficial. So, but my guess is it's not getting into somewhere. So that's what I would try to see if you could get it in and really saturate the house with the ozone. Even if you could be away from the house for a little bit and just let it run, make sure you don't have any pets in there as well.
We don't. Stay outside.
Yeah, make sure to run that ozone. Like, I've run it so much in a house that it looks almost foggy inside. I'll run it perpetually just to try and kill everything off.
Yeah, well, that's what we've sort of been doing, but I do it more in the two back bedrooms and bathrooms because nobody sleeps in there or stays in there, on a regular basis. But so that end is, and we've moved everything around like from before when it was, we keep moving stuff so it will hit more direct places and things.
Right. Yeah, it could be under something because you've really got to kill it off, otherwise it'll regrow. So if it's even under something or around, maybe on the backside or in the, even in the attic. I don't know if you've got an attic or you've got a crawl space, but it can be there.
No, we don't have either one of those. We just have fresh air vents in the ceiling.
Okay. Well, the fresh air vents, it might be in the vents then.
Well, that's what, we thought about. The floor vents we had covered over and really actually want them took out, but we have got to the point where we've got rid of stuff, moved everything in the house around, and, cleaned and sprayed everywhere we could with things. And we had a company that deals with stuff like that come out and put these heater-like things down vents and stuff to draw the moisture and stuff out of them. I don't know how well they work, but, you know, they did come out and do that, and they felt good about that, but they said until they actually pulled up some of the floor and part of the wall that they wouldn't know for sure how well it worked.
Right, and that would be my guess, is it still in the floor or still in the wall somewhere? So as much as you're killing off the superficial part, it's the deeper part that keeps perpetuating. So it's going to be getting deeper in to kill that off.
You know, Doc, I equate mold to fungus.
Yes.
And I believe that fungus and mold are probably the two most difficult things to eradicate in the human body. Human body was built for it. Was built to house it. So you've got to, I mean, I moved 4 times in the last 3 years, guys, so I could get to a place where I could be healthy. You know, there was the gold rush in California. There was the silver rush in Nevada. But there's the clean air rush up here in Loveland, Colorado.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's mold and fungus are some of the hardest things to get rid of, because if you leave even just a little bit, it will reseed and re-keep going. And then as we talked about with the mold, is the mycotoxicity that just keeps going and perpetuating. It's one of the most difficult things to treat.
Thank you, Nancy.
I was born in South Carolina, and my parents, I never remember us having any problem with anything like that in our home when I was growing up.
Yeah, it didn't exist in those days. The world wasn't as toxic back then. There was still plenty of clean air. The Industrial Revolution, when your parents were raising you, was just beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know they kept everything, you know. We had our own grown chickens and, you know, all of that. And I just, you know, think that all helped with a lot of healing. Plus, we ate clean food.
That's true.
I think that is the biggest thing that you just mentioned, is eating the clean food. Is it's so hard to even get clean food today, especially just in the United States. And I'll call them the alphabet agencies. The alphabet agencies, from, you know, the USDA to the FDA to all of the other alphabets, that they claim to be out there to help us, but they're perpetuating. They're being bought by the AMA. They're being bought by Big Pharma, by Big Ag, and just perpetuating the illness. I believe truly that we have a nutrition epidemic today. You hear about an obesity epidemic, but we have a nutrition epidemic. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time to count chemicals, not calories. Because we're getting all of these chemicals into our body that we need to take out. They're not natural. Even the foods that we ate as children, I hear people, oh, well, I ate McDonald's when I was a kid, and, you know, I'm fine. Well, they've changed the formula. They've changed how it's made. It's got so many chemicals in it. What McDonald's used to cook their fries in versus what they cook their fries today in. The artificial dyes that they keep changing the names and titles to. It's about aspartame, which we know is a neurotoxin and affects so many people. Instead of banning aspartame, all they did is they changed the name. Mm-hmm. Now they just call it AminoSweet. You'll see it on a label. But instead of fixing the problem, they just change the name and they sugarcoat things. And so the alphabet agencies that are supposed to be protecting us are being bought by the same people that are harming us and perpetuating the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry. So I feel so negative when I talk about it, but there's so much out there and so much information as you dig deeper into, listen to Robert Scott Bell, you know, good friend of mine, and some of the stuff that he talks about, and it all works together, the synergy of the body and how this disease has happened and all the Western diseases that we have that are treatable but related to the chemicals in our body. I literally just plastics in her body, microplastics. We're talking about Morgellons here, and microplastics too. I read an article literally just like, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was an article that came out that they tested men, and 90% of the men tested had high microplastics in the testicles. So how do we think this is affecting our hormones and affecting everything else that we're doing? From, you know, we talk about trying to eat healthy, but is our food still coated in plastic? We now have this thing called Appeal that Bill Gates and his cronies have put out to make vegetables last longer and look prettier, but at what detriment to our health? So all of these chemicals that have come out, and it's really about it's cutting those chemicals. It's how much can you do yourself? How much can you grow your own food, produce your own food, can your own food, cook your own food for that health so that you know what you're putting in your body? Because these agencies, these companies are not looking at the health of people. They're just trying to sell a product, and they're going to keep selling their product. They create the disease so they can offer the cure. And that's what has perpetuated our society today.
Hey, Doc, you sound just like Peter now.
Peter's got a lot to say, yeah.
No, really. He always tells everybody, read the label. Make sure they didn't change the name on you. It's the same old killer. No, it's very interesting. I'm going to keep on keeping on because they keep jumping in. No, you ain't kidding. I know. I see that you raised your hand, Spies, but you got to wait now. Let me get through this rotation at least once, and then I'll come immediately to you. Good morning, Norma, and welcome.
Good morning.
You finally found the email with the phone number, huh?
Yes.
All right. We can both laugh. I know what it means, and you know what it means. Nobody else does. All right. Do you have a question for the doc?
No, I don't have one at this time.
All right. Welcome again.
Thank you.
All right. Yolanta. Welcome, Yolanta. Is that you, Yolanta? Okay, we'll come back to you. All right, let's see here. Ah, is that you, Teddy? Was that the kids in the background, huh? Okay, nobody's talking. Everyone hears me. Nobody's talking. All right,
everybody
well, welcome,
today.
Teddy. I'm good. Say what?
Everybody's shy today.
Well, he's not shy. He's probably chasing after one of the kids. He's got a bunch.
Yeah.
5-7, okay, Mary, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. We woke up in the middle of the night, fell asleep again, and I just got up back up again. I said, oh, geez, I'm missing it.
Well, it's recorded. That's the good news. So whatever you missed today, we have Dr. Edward Griffin. He's going to answer some questions, and we'll come back around because Yolanda didn't respond. Teddy didn't respond. But Mr. and Mrs. What's-His-Name, Paul, Diane, and Diane, and Paul, our resident spies, are ready with their questions. Come in.
Yeah, hey, good morning. This is Paul. Hi, Dr. Edward.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, so talking about the new company you're working for, do you guys create products that you put into a protocol, or are you more where you see actual patients?
I'm more doing actually seeing patients and working with individuals right now. We do work with we have some protocols that we work with and some specific products that we like, and we definitely it's really about detoxing the body. Is how can we take things out to support the body's natural healing? So we often start with, you know, and we're really about education as well. So not only we're not the doctors that just tell you, you should do this. This is why you should do this. And this is how doing this is going to affect your body. So we're really, at IntelliKey Life, we really support the body, support the healing process, and help to coach you through, walk you through kind of your healing journey, because everybody's journey is a little bit different. And so medicine should be very individualized, and that's what we focus on.
But you're,
you know, Doc, it's interesting, and hold on a second, Paul. In our guiding principles, one of our guiding principles, I think maybe number three, is that everybody's body is different. And you can, I sit here and you just concur with me. So everybody's treatment is going to be a little different because none of us are made exactly the same. And then none of us have exactly the same issues that we're dealing with beside whatever the primary situation might be. Go ahead, Paul.
Right.
Yeah, so I was wondering, so you're focusing maybe more on nutrition first and then, say, supplements second?
Definitely. I would focus that way on, for anybody. The first thing I'm always looking at, and I think about this, it's an old computer term. Anybody ever hear of GIGO? It was G-I-G-O. It was garbage in, garbage out.
Oh, yeah.
Was a computer term early on. And that's how I think about it, is think about what you're put, you know, we've heard this saying for decades, if not millennia, is you are what you eat. So what you're putting into your body. So think about the nutrition first, and it even goes back to Hippocrates, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. We eat to support our bodies. But in today's society, we've gotten away from supporting our body to looking at that flavor or those calories, or I'm going to say the addiction. I believe truly if sugar was discovered today, that it would be classified as a drug. If caffeine was discovered today, and I think caffeine already is classified as a drug, but caffeine is a drug, nicotine, all these things that are socially acceptable but aren't necessarily good for us. Even alcohol is something else that is, our body has no necessity, no way of really, it doesn't help us in any way whatsoever. I think a decade or so ago, they used to say that a glass of red wine was good for you. It wasn't the red wine. It was the resveratrol that was in the grapes. So it was the grapes that were good for you, not the wine, but they were trying to justify, who knows who did the studies or the research, to justify that the glass of wine a day was good for you, which then got extrapolated to, oh, it's okay to have a beverage a day, to, you know, something that has actually no benefit to the human body. So I think there's a lot of information out there. But, I start with nutrition no matter who I'm talking to. And I just said is you are what you eat. I'm going to disagree with myself right there. You are what you absorb from what you eat. You can eat all kinds of food, but if your body can't absorb it. So really, the goal of any treatment, no matter what we're talking about, should start out with healing up the gut. If you heal up the gut so you can absorb the nutrients, so you can absorb the supplements, so you can absorb the medications, whatever it be, is it all starts with the gut. And then there's huge amounts of information coming out right now about the gut-brain axis and how the gut is really a second brain almost in affecting our body. I think I'm diving deeper and going on a kind of down the rabbit hole there with that one. But yeah, I focus on nutrition first. Is my goal is let your food be your medicine.
You know, Doc, one thing you said a little earlier, I'm sorry, Paul, but I think it's so true, is that, oh boy, I lost my train of thought now. Oh boy.
It
happens, guys. No, I know it'll come to me.
Yeah.
I get punished for interrupting. Go ahead, guys.
No, I was just going to agree, basically. You know, the example you gave with the wine is it's tricky in who's telling you what's good to eat and what's not good to eat. You can't necessarily trust everybody.
Or anybody.
Exactly. So, I think we all have to be skeptical a little bit, and we all have to be our own best advocate. And I'm not, I will never be the guy that says, oh, trust me. I'm learning every day. Is I think you should doubt everything that I say and look it up. Find the resources, find the information. Like so much of what we know about nutrition, I'll say American nutrition is based on the work of Ansel Keys. If you haven't heard this guy's name, look him up.
Oh,
Ansel
yeah.
Keys.
We've studied him a lot.
Yeah, this guy was absolutely awful. You know, he based all of the food pyramid and everything about how Americans eat is based on his research, which was faulty. It was called the 22 country study, and he called it the 7 country study because 2/3 of the information didn't agree with him. So, yeah, I think it's mind blowing when you start looking at this and what perpetuates the cycle. If you haven't read Robert Scott Bell's book, read his book, and he goes deeper into some of it, you know, as far back as the Flexner Report and Rockefeller, and how Rockefeller basically bought out the medical system, which now is perpetuated through that whole, the big family. And we can get into Vanguard and BlackRock and all of those too and go all down that rabbit hole. But I'll leave that for Robert Scott Bell to talk about.
I'm not sure who you sound like more, Peter, Robert Scott Bell, or Glenn. Sounds like a combo. Peter is always telling people to do their own research. It's amazing. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Do your own research. And anybody that says, trust me, are the first person that I don't trust. Do your own research. Dig deeper. Figure it out. I mean, I want to talk just briefly to get off topic here. Talk about COVID. When COVID hit, and we just started blindly believing whatever the mass media was talking about, it's a narrative. It's not what's true. Why were the doctors getting shut down? Why didn't we listen to the research? And now, you know, 4 years later, almost 5 years later, more and more doctors are coming out that they disagreed with it, but they did what they had to keep their jobs. So how much is related to the alphabet agencies and big money and big pharma? And we still need to live our lives. We don't want to live in poverty, and we don't want to lose our livelihood. We still got to take care of our own families. But then there's the people out there that are, you know, talking about this and spreading the information. And go out there and do your research and look it up and find corroborating resources that back up the research.
Diane's got a question for you, Doc.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Dr. Griffin. Okay, so, yeah, everything that you've said, I mean, Paul and I have kind of lived it. We've, through this whole Morgellons disease, we've learned how different our bodies are and how they reacted differently to the disease.
Uh-huh.
And then also how to heal a little bit differently and to be patient with what each person needs to do to heal. But I have a specific question about stevia, because I've always been kind of a sweet freak, and so the sweet leaf, sweet drops, the stevia clear, I use it quite a bit, but I've heard so much pro and con about, even though it's stevia and it's natural, but the brain still interprets it as sugar, and I'm just wondering if that's true or what you feel about using, you know, organic stevia in our cooking, I add it to a lot of things, but I'm wondering if my body still interprets it as sugar.
Yes, the body still interprets it as sugar, so you're still getting some of the same effects that are happening. But so many people have preached about stevia and, oh, it's a natural. You know what? Cocaine's natural. We're not doing cocaine, you know, all the time. Even though it's natural, there are still effects that it has on your body. And you mentioned organic, even organic. Just because it's organic doesn't mean it's healthy. There's organic sugars, which sugar still causes inflammation. And stevia even that causes, I personally don't like stevia. There's an aftertaste to it that I don't care for. But I think I'll mention like the alcohol sugars too, erythritol and sorbitol that have been promoted even like in the keto industry as being beneficial and they're okay, they still work. They still tell our brain that same signal. It's turning on those dopamine receptors in our brain, and it keeps us addicted. It's part of an addictive cycle.
Well,
so
that's what I was if I'm addicted to stevia now.
Yeah, it's exchanging one drug for another. So it's one substance for another.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's what it is. It's that sweet that we get addicted to and we're so used to, and especially the American palate. We are so used to all the sweet things that they add sugar. They're adding sugar to milk now to make it more palatable because people have gotten so used to the sweet taste.
So your recommendation would be that I try to wean myself off the stevia?
I would do it too. I would wean off the stevia, definitely. They've started substituting it, and it's where, like, it starts out where a little is okay for you, and then suddenly they're using a little more, and then a little in everything, and suddenly it's everywhere, and it builds up, and you build up that tolerance. Now you need more of it. And that's almost a definition of addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How we just a little bit here, a little bit there. Yeah. I want to say the same thing about mercury. You know, is mercury, they say, there's a safe level of mercury in our fish. You know what? There's no real safe level of mercury. It's toxic. But it's that little bit that you pick up from having fish here, that little bit from a fish oil, that little bit from here, that suddenly adds up and then causes the problem. Same with stevia. So I think it happens with all kinds of things like that, is we get a little and a little and a little, and then suddenly we have a lot. And even though it was safe in the little, all of those littles add up to be a lot and cause the issues.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that input. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, thank you, Diane and Paul. All right, let's go back to the people who we didn't get. Yolanta, do you have anything you want to ask, questions you'd like to ask the doctor? Okay, I guess not. All right, how about you, young man, Teddy? Teddy there? Hello.
Hey, this is Dale. Hey.
Dale. Okay, no wonder you're not answering. I'm calling you your cousin. Hi, Dale. I'll get it.
Hey, Mel. Hey.
You know, that's why I don't use stevia. I'm dopey enough. All right, go ahead.
I agree with I think Diane. I've pretty much substituted stevia with it so much that now, you know, I just use that almost every day, like in different things, tea and on strawberries and different things. The question I had was, and Mel knows this, I've been suffering from this like little patch of skin that's just red and itchy and almost like a candida rash in the skin that I just cannot seem to get rid of. I've tried so many different things on it, and I don't know, Mel said it's probably like an exit point or something where, you know, it'll just take time, more and more time to eventually heal up. But I don't know. I haven't tried any prescription antifungals or anything. But besides that, I'm on the Logos Nutritionals protocol and the silver, the copper, the WPS, and I've even tried some, like, the bentonite clay, a little bit of that, and charcoal, trying to flush everything out, bind things up, and get them out. Topically, I've tried a lot of different herbal tinctures and different things, and it seems to give a little relief, and I've tried the silver, the nanoparticle silver. I don't know, I'll get a little relief here and there, and then it's just constant.
Well, you know what I think, Doc, and I told him this. Mm-hmm. It's either the entry point, because we always have an entry point when we get some disease, somewhere it entered us. Okay, but what I'm thinking, again, we've had people come here weigh 100 pounds overweight. They leave in 2-3 years, they got better, a long time ago. But they still had their candida issues. Okay? He's talking what he believes is fungal, and I think he's right. and I think that he'll get better. And until he's all better, that's going to be the thing that's going to be there the longest. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with that. And typically, and I this is kind of an oversimplification of things, is our body is basically a big tube. We have skin on the inside. We have skin on the outside. When we have a outside manifestation, like an eczema or the redness that we're having, typically it's because there's something going on the inside that we can't see. And that's where I talk about healing up the gut. And sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it's the last thing to heal up. Like Mel was just saying, is that skin issues can take some time, and because of the individuality of each person, you've got to walk through that, and it might be the last thing to heal up as you heal up. So whether it's, like we mentioned earlier in the call, that like the mycotoxins that are something that's holding somebody back, or heavy metals that are holding somebody back, is it's finding out what is that last obstacle that we need to get through. So I always start with the gut, and then once we heal up the gut, the rest of the body starts to follow because we get the nutrition that we can now absorb. But if we're still adding in something, like I said in the beginning, is remove the garbage. What is the garbage that is still there? Is it something that you're eating? Is it something that you're breathing? Is it something that you're putting on your skin? There's so many possibilities, and that's why everybody's so individualized, and we got to dig deeper into each case to see kind of what's going on. So,
well, you know, Doc, here's where I forgot what I wanted to say when I originally interrupted Paul, was that I forgot again. Oh my gosh. Okay, no. That we have the Sherlock Holmes theory. I don't consider myself brilliant, so I've always taken it out of Sherlock's book. If you eliminate things one at a time, you will come up with the answer. And since we consider diet, in my opinion, I consider sleep, diet, and nutritional supplements the three ways that you put together to get well. And then there's the spiritual component. You must really love life to make sacrifices necessary to beat a toxic disease. But in the process of elimination from your diet is how you can actually make the diet that best suits your personal need, because everybody's body is different. 11 people can eat something and you can't, because your body can't handle it. So Sherlock Holmes said it best, takes time, process of elimination.
Yeah, I think truly that's what a lot of people do, and that's kind of what we're doing. Again, oversimplification, it's an elimination diet, is you take everything out till you're feeling good, and then you start adding the things back in. So even something that's healthy can be not good for you, for a particular person. I've got a gentleman right now that I'm working with that's having gut issues that went to a basic carnivore-type diet, that all he was eating was beef, and beef and fat, really. Was feeling amazing, started adding things back in, and one of the things he missed most was sweet potatoes. And most people do great with sweet potatoes, but that's his sensitivity. So is finding out what the sensitivity is or what's causing the issue, and then don't do that. So, but it's the process that is very difficult, is going down that rabbit hole, eliminating, going to the basics, and then being able to start adding things back in.
Okay, I pretty much think we covered just about everybody. So if anybody has a question they'd like to ask now, either hit star 5 until it says in the phone in your ear, hand raised. Oh boy, that was quick. Lori got it. Okay, Lori, go girl.
Hi, I have a couple questions. The first one I'll ask you is, I was listening to Barbara O'Neill, and she was saying that vinegar, which we've all been taking vinegar, the apple cider vinegar, is not so good for you because it has the same components in it that alcohol does, and it's not good for your brain. And she suggested that you go to just do lemon instead of the vinegar. Have you heard that, or do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything like that about vinegar. That's something I'd have to look up. But, I mean, I like vinegar topically can be very beneficial. The apple cider vinegar for the digestive tract, we use it all the time to help people that are having issues. Because oftentimes it's not about people think of heartburn is because they have too much acid, but they actually have low acid. So it's about it's all about balance. I'm going to tell you my ABCs really quick. So I believe medicine is simplified to ABCs. The first thing is accountability. Is you have to be accountable for you. This is where I get into doing your own research and being your own advocate. You don't have to do things to please me, to please Mel. You're doing it for you, and you need to be accountable only to yourself. So that accountability, I think, is huge. The B is going to be balance. I think vinegar can be absolutely amazing topically. It can be amazing internally, but it's all about the balance and what's your balance. What's the right spot for you? And then C is consistency. So consistency is the key to almost everything, whether we're talking weight loss, whether we're talking a protocol. You've got to follow it through long enough to make it all the way through your process. And sometimes we need that coaching, that little benefit along the way. But just the balance, I think. So I like a lot of Barbara O'Neill's stuff. I think she has got a lot of amazing information. But anybody that talks about a definitive cure for everything, there is no cure for everything because of the individuality that we've been talking about is vinegar might be difficult for some people or to switch to lemon for some people. So I think that's why we have so many options out there is that we all are so individualized and we need to treat us individually. So if the vinegar is tough for you, definitely try the lemons. If lemons are tough for you, try vinegar. And then there's other options out there as well. So I guess that might have been kind of vague, but that's kind of, I use vinegar for a lot of things. I will say now is I love apple cider vinegar, and I used to love the Bragg's apple cider vinegar. They have now been bought by a bigger company. I'm not sure who now owns them, but they just sold out.
No, we know. We've been posting that since it happened.
Yeah.
What a shame, huh?
Such a shame, yeah. Did you just hear about Siete? The chips. It was a Mexican company, I believe. It just got $1.2 billion got bought out by by Pepsi.
Oh, boy.
So they were an
alternative.
It'll
never be the same.
Yeah, for a lot of the gluten-free people, they were doing these. The Siete was the brand of chips. And then Pepsi just bought them. So it's not going to be the same once Pepsi gets involved, once Coca-Cola gets involved, Nabisco, all the big companies, they buy up these little companies and they disappear and they change their formula. They change their ingredients. And what started out as being a health food is no longer healthy.
It's amazing. Doc, let me say, did I ever go over our guiding principles with you?
I think we have, did. I don't remember them off the top of my head.
That's all right. I would just like to review them with you one last time because you're going to smile. First, do no harm. Second, everybody's body is different. Third, it's the sum, S-U-M of the parts, not S-O-M-E of the parts.
Yep.
Four, this is a tough one, Doc. I have to hold them, got to whip them slow and steady. Everybody wants out of here yesterday.
Yep, slow and steady is so important.
Better out than in. Whatever it is that's in, you want it out. Mixing protocols can hinder health restoration. It's true. Those who do not give up hope get well, and have faith and perseverance, trust the Lord. We call it the great eight. This is how I try to make things happen here.
That sounds awesome, Mel. I completely believe that. And I think you told me those when we first met and when I first got to know you a little bit. And that's why I keep coming back, is we have the same philosophies, is about moving forward and about keep going. The slow and steady. I will add one in to your first one there, the first do no harm. But I say first do no harm, but also take no shit is the other way to throw that in there.
Well, yeah, but everybody knows that about me. I don't have to say it anymore. I'm a tough old man.
But yeah, you've got to be your own advocate. You got to take care of yourself because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Doc, if I don't take care of me, who's going to take care of them?
Exactly.
All right, we got a question here. Donna, Donna G, come in, Donna G.
I just, is there a brand of the, sorry, I'm going to go back to the treating the Lyme where you said hit it hard and you, if, you know, we can't do the IV, silver or IV ozone, is there a licorice tea brand or tincture brand of licorice that you recommend?
I love, I'm going to talk, Gaia is an amazing brand, G-A-I-A is Gaia. Wise Woman Herbs is a great, really well-known herb farm. Those are three companies that do tinctures that I think are really amazing. But yeah, Glyceriza is an amazing antiviral that nobody talked about, even during like COVID and viruses and stuff. Nobody talked about Glyceriza. But go ahead.
Can you spell Glyceriza?
It's my favorite word because it's such a funny spelling.
Okay.
It's G-L-Y-C-C-Y-R-R-H. Oh, I'm trying to spell it off the top of my head and I can't. So let me look it up really quick. But it's licorice. It's the Latin name for licorice is Glyceriza.
Okay. Latin name. Okay.
It's G-L-Y-C-Y-R-R-H-I-Z-A.
All right, Doc, just one question.
Uh-huh.
For those licorice lovers, can they OD on it?
Yes, you actually can. Licorice is one that you can. Licorice can have some heart implications. So you have to be, yeah, is definitely follow the label usage when you're talking about Glyceriza.
But good question,
I love
huh?
Licorice. Yeah, I love licorice. Licorice root tea is amazing. But if you have some heart issues, definitely be aware of that. But there are some precautions there when we're talking. DGL, if you see that as a supplement, deglycerized licorice. Is amazing for all types of stomach type issues. Glyceriza is it's called a mucilaginous herb. It helps support the mucus forming. Marshmallow is the other one that I really like for the gut too. So Glyceriza, marshmallow, but marshmallow root, not marshmallows, the puffy, sugary kind of thing. Marshmallow root is actually medicinal.
Okay.
All right, so what you're not telling them is don't put a stick over the campfire with a marshmallow on the end.
Yeah, that's not going to help you much, but marshmallow root tincture can be amazing.
Hey, I've got one question. Is there an ozone machine that you can have like in your house that's safe to run while you're in the house? Is there one that works around people and pets?
There is a company, and I can't remember the name of them, that has a machine. It's almost like, it's like one of those air fresheners that you plug into the wall, and it emits a little bit of ozone, and they say that that you can use it around people and around pets and everything. But I personally do not like using them that way, is because ozone's toxic to the lungs. It works kind of like carbon monoxide. It displaces the oxygen. So your body has an affinity for the ozone, just like it has an affinity for that carbon monoxide that gets us, it knocks the oxygen off of the red blood cells. And that's what's kind of damaging to us.
Okay.
All right, so don't do it in the garage with the door closed.
Correct, yes. Don't do it in the door with the garage closed. unless you're not in there. But there is a company, I just can't remember the name of them. I've seen them at a trade show before. I'd have to reach out to a friend to see if I could find the name of the company.
Send me an email. I'll put it on the website.
Okay, I'll see if I can find it, and I'll send it to Mel.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who has a question for Dr. Edward Griffin?
Mel, I had one more that I wanted to ask. That's Lori.
Is that Lori once again?
Yep, it is.
Go ahead, Lori.
Thank you, Mel. You talked about the coconut sugar. I mean, you talked about the stevia. I know we had things that it kills Lyme. Do you know if coconut sugar is bad for you?
I like coconut for all kinds of things. The coconut sugar, I think, is a more natural, less processed version of sugar. So I lean towards coconut oil, coconut milk as a great source for a lot of things. It's those saturated fats are really good for just for the body in general.
They're great topically.
Yeah, topically it's amazing. I don't buy lotions. I just use coconut oil.
No. I buy the 2-pack, you know, for $11. No. Coconut oil has so many positive things that it can do for the human being that it's
absolutely
really research coconut oil, guys, and learn to utilize it better, and you'll all be happy. I mean, really, I'm almost 80, and I don't have skin that looks like I'm 80 years old, I'll tell you that much. And it's because coconut oil is my oil of choice.
Yep, definitely. And so, yeah, as far as the coconut sugar, I would definitely lean towards coconut sugar as well.
Okay. And then the do you know, I know what they say, coconut, because it's a saturated oil, but they say it loses it if it's not bought in a good source. Do you know a good source of coconut oil?
Just make sure you're looking for, like, the extra virgin coconut oils are going to be the less processed.
Okay.
Right. Extra virgin. That's right.
Okay.
You know,
it's
Zach,
like
olive oil. No kidding, Doc. When I was a child growing up in the Keys in the late 40s and early 50s, my brother and I could climb those trees and get a coconut. We learned how to crack them open, drink the milk, and eat the inside as lunch.
Nice.
And I can remember that going up the tree. You take one of the leaves and you tear off the thing, wrap it around your ankles, and up you go. It's easy. But it's not like that. I mean, those were the days when there really wasn't, you know, as toxic. I mean, I'm talking 65 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, we got another question. I'm having a good time, Doc, bringing back some memories here. All right, come in, Mr. and Mrs. What's their names?
Okay, I got one more since we're talking so much about sugars and sweets because that's my addiction. Dr. Griffin,
I'm a sugar addict as well.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm in good company then. How do you feel about monk fruit?
That's a topic. That's an interesting one. Is a lot of people have thrown that in, and I think it's okay in moderation. And I'll go back even to the stevia. I think stevia isn't okay in moderation, but I think the problem is that we've gotten so used to, I think it's the gluttony of the American culture that we get a little and we want more and we want more and we want more. So I think monk fruit, if you're using it in low dose, if you're using it, you know, in a few things, okay, great. But I think it's when we start using it and we're replacing it, or it's changing one thing for something else. So is the best thing to do would be to, you know, decrease the sugar cravings. Because that can affect your insulin resistance as well as leptin resistance. And so, I mean, it's way deeper than just, you know, oh, we can replace everything with monk fruit, or we can replace everything with stevia, you're still having an issue. So it goes back to my ABCs. It's really about balance. So I think monk fruit is decent, but I think anything, it's still going to be glucose. It's still fructose. You know, it's still those sugars that are going to still affect the body.
Okay. Diane, I have a great suggestion for you, dear.
What is it, Mel?
Take an extra Fitcos 1C.
Take what?
Fitcos 1C, Candida Rid together.
Fitcos?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll send
know
you
that.
An email. Okay. I know you don't, but I'm going to help you, you know, drive down those cravings.
Okay, great.
I know, I'm a sugar addict, and I know what I have to do sometimes. Like, you know, we have a month of moratorium. I'm not allowed to bring any coffee, ice cream in the house.
I wake up thinking about it.
No, I understand the problem, dear. I dream about Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream, but give me a break. So
okay.
I up my Fitcos 1C and jam down some extra Candida Rid. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Let's see. Is there any? No, you're welcome, sweetie. And anybody else have a question before I ask Pete if he wants to say anything and then ask the doc to say his closing thoughts? All right. You good group. A lot of good questions. Tremendous audience. A lot of people here. Thank you for coming. Pete, you want to say anything?
If it's okay with you and your community, I would first just thank Dr. Griffin for being here. Thank you, Mel, for all you're doing. And if it meets with your approval, can I lead us out in a very brief prayer?
Yeah, but we'll wait that and we'll save it for the end, okay? We'll come right back. Let Doc say his closing thoughts. I'll tell everybody about tomorrow and next week, and then we'll have you close out in prayer, okay?
Yeah, sounds fine. Thank you, Mel.
Okay, you're welcome. Doc, is there anything you'd like to say to the community?
I think my closing thoughts are always, I mean, everybody is so individualized, and it's really moderation is the key to so many things, as well as those ABCs that I talk about. It's really about balance, and the balance for you is different than the balance for me. So it's about knowing your individuality and knowing your body and working with that as you work through your process of healing. I think it's so important for everybody. And thank you all for having me on today. It was a pleasure to answer some of your questions and share some thoughts.
Doc, it's an honor to have you with us. I knew you were going to be a really great guest. And, you know, I've been preaching moderation from the first day of this website on February 3rd of 2009.
Oh, excellent.
It's one of the keys. If you don't have it, you're not going to get well.
That's true.
All right. Everybody, don't forget tomorrow, prayer and fellowship, okay? And next Saturday, we have John Bergsteiner from Logos Nutritional. And on the count of three, let's all say thank you, Doc. And then we'll let Peter end this call in prayer. One, two, three. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Peter, you want to end in prayer here?
Yeah, yes, sir. It'd be an honor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed and encouraged that you continue to call us together in fellowship and demonstrate love and your presence here. Father, thank you for encouraging others here to stay dedicated to this protocol. These are unprecedented times for talking in, Father, so we ask that you come alongside each and every person, fully persuade them that you have led them here, that you have your hands on them here, and that you will fulfill the promise that when we are faithful, you will do it. So keep us rooted in that faithfulness. Keep us in the midst of our struggles, leaning into you when it's hard. Keep us looking for all your tender mercies and all the blessings you have for us. And let us not lose sight, Father, that you are the great physician, that you have made a body where you reside, that we are fearlessly and wonderfully made, that when we trust in you, you fulfill the desires of our heart, and then that this too shall pass. keep people diligent, keep us continuing to be in relationship with you, and keep providing the greater discernment that comes through a relationship with you. And thank you, lastly, Father, for the gift of prayer. We ask you to put a hedge of protection around Mel, our brother who serves you so faithfully and has for so many years. And then again, we are just grateful that you have chosen us for relationship and brought us here. And we hope that you will continue to fulfill the promise for everyone here that they will at some point in time come into the fullness and richness of the desires of their heart, which is for total health, renewal, and restoration. And it's in Jesus' name, through his strength and in his love, that we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a really great, great rest of your day. We'll see most of you tomorrow. The rest of you again next week. God bless you all. Thanks for being a part of this call. And a special thanks to the doc. What a gem he is, guys. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nancy and Sunny stay. Nancy and Sunny stay. Uh-oh. All right. I need Nancy and Sunny, but Sunny's gone. All right, so let's see, Nancy, if we can't somehow get it back in. You know what, Nancy? We'll talk about it tomorrow at prayer and fellowship. Go have a nice evening, honey.
All right, you too.
All right, God bless.